And we'll just, let's just ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, we're going to turn to your word now, and we're that you will speak to us through it. We find, as we look into your word, that there's so much, and we know so little. But Lord, you help us, guide us, teach us, and motivate us today, we pray, to lives of service for you. We ask all these things now, in Jesus' name, giving thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Not all of you were able to be at the men's Digging Deeper conference a few weeks ago. Three or four of us from 16th were there. Others, I think, have maybe listened in on a meeting or two, and that's very humbling to hear. We had a good time. One of the meetings was addressed by Trevor Kamstra, and he said in his introductory comments, I want you to consider a verse from Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to start there this morning as a jumping off point. Daniel chapter 9. And he started by reading in verses 1. He said, in the first year of Darius, the son of Hashuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face, Daniel said, unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer, the supplications, with fasting, and sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord God of Lord my God, and made my confession, and said. And I'm not sure that I spent too much time pondering much more than that, but I looked at those initial thoughts and said, that's just a little bit much, isn't it? When you pray, how do you pray? When you pray, how many of us pray with supplication? How many of us pray with fasting and sackcloth and ashes? And I thought to myself, Lord, that's I didn't use the word in my thinking, overkill. I don't think that's the right thing. But I did say, Lord, why did he do that? And then my thoughts said, well, Harold, he was no ordinary man. He was the chief operating officer of the world, if you like. The CEO was Darius and Ahasuerus, but the COO was Daniel. I said, I suppose, Daniel, Harold, if you were a big boss like him, you might pray with a little more zeal, too. And then I went a little further in my thinking and said, which came first? His zeal in prayer? Or the fact that he was COO of the world? And the more I thought, the more I said to myself, Harold, what's wrong with you? Are you Mr. Casual in prayer? And then I broadened the theme a little and I said, well, Harold, what do you know about devotion to the Lord? Daniel was an amazing man. He used to pray from Shushan, the palace, to Jerusalem every morning and every afternoon, with his window open. I'm not sure. I think probably the direction that he prayed was almost perfectly in line. He was praying due west. I think his house probably was built on a north, south, east, west grid like most of ours are. I think he was praying heading due west to Jerusalem. There was nothing going on at Jerusalem at the time. And by Daniel. King said, you can't do that. And by Daniel. He said, I have a responsibility to pray. I will pray. What is life made of? Well, it's made of the fulfillment of the responsibilities that flow out of the devotion to the Lord, isn't it? What are the responsibilities from your heart that you basically committed to that have guided your life? Or what will they be? It's interesting just pondering all this in my head, but there are many we've known here at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. They opened the doors here about 64 years ago, I guess. Harold Budd was one of those who was here. And as they were opening the doors, he simply bowed his head and he said, "Lord, when these doors are open for the glory of God, I will be here." That was for the various meetings that they had. And he just lived his life that way. Is that a good thing? Jeffrey Lloyd was with us in those early years, and for many others. Jeffrey was an interesting fellow. He had a handful of principles that he followed every day of his life. They made him an outstanding man. Daniel said, "I'm going to pray towards Jerusalem." Solomon promised that if we did, there would be blessing. So I go back in my life, and you go back in your life. And I go back in my life, and I say, "All right, Harold, there was that point when you made that commitment to the Lord, and you said, 'Lord, this is how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to do that.'" And I can go back a little farther than most of you and analyze what happened as a result of that. And the answer is, when I made a commitment to the Lord, he honored it greatly. And my life was guided by the very simple fact that I had a responsibility to do what was right rather than what was wrong. I used to get invited to parties when I was younger, and most of the parties were on Friday night. And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, I can't go because, you see, and we have hobbies and hobby classes here at the chapel on Friday night. That's my responsibility on Friday night." And some of my friends got into trouble at the parties that they went to. And they made attractions and affections and friends they shouldn't have made. And I didn't go. As a matter of fact, they said he's a bit of a killjoy, and we're going to stop inviting him, which was even better. "Daniel, what are you doing?" "I'll be going to my home twice a day to pray." They said, "Well, we'll kill you for that." And he said, "Well, you may try, but you're not going to succeed." Daniel, the great man. I said, "Well, all right, Harold, how much do you know about these things? You know much about fasting? I know about praying. I might even know a little bit about supplicating, but I'm not really sure precisely what supplication is all about. What about fasting?" "Well, on occasion, but don't." "What about sackcloth, Harold?" Daniel turned to sackcloth. I thought, "Harold, it's about time you study sackcloth." So we're going to study sackcloth this morning as an example of devotion to the Lord. And my challenge to us all is this: what is my devotion to the Lord? Is it sackcloth? Is it something? Can you set your clock by my devotion to the Lord? You can set your clock by Daniel. "What time is it? Let's see if his window's open." There it is, right on time. What a man. Sackcloth. So I had decided I was going to do a quick sackcloth analysis. You might want to turn with me then to the book of Genesis. Sackcloth. And Genesis chapter 37. This is the first reference to sackcloth in Scripture. I didn't count all the references. There are quite a few, probably 30 or 40. I'm not sure. Genesis chapter 37. Verse 31, the terrible story. They took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. They sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, "This we have found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not." Jacob knew it, said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him." Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. I thought, Lord, that's a pretty heavy introduction to sackcloth. You could learn an awful lot about the importance of sackcloth from that verse, couldn't you? What do you do when your heart is broken to the point you can't handle it? Jacob said, sackcloth. Turn over to the next, I guess that's the second. Let's go to the first story. My notes aren't complete. Let's go to chapter, somebody's going to have to help me find this because my notes aren't here. But the response that Jacob had to the behavior of his two sons, Simeon and Levi, and at that point, he turned to sackcloth again. Somebody just, your audience, the audience has got better eyes than me. You find it for me, please. And, all right, I can't find it. I'm not going to take the time to keep looking. The story is very simple. Simeon and Levi took vengeance over the house of Shechem and Hamar and slaughtered the men there. And Jacob said, "You made my name to stink." And he took sackcloth and he mourned for his sons. Two stories in the life of Jacob, both of which resulted in Jacob turning to sackcloth. The tragedy of losing Joseph and the tragedy of the wicked vengeance of Simeon and Levi and the man with 12 sons and a huge broken heart said, "What can I do?" He said, "I'm going to use sackcloth." What happened? Well, first question would be, what was the worst family that you've ever heard of in the world? Answer, probably Jacob's. If your sons behaved like that, you'd try sackcloth too. What was the best family that ever happened in the history of the world? Well, I guess that'd be Jacob's, wouldn't it? You can look at the New Jerusalem. What are the names going to be on the gates of pearl? Jacob's sons. You say, what? Does sackcloth work? Well, I guess the answer is yes, but is it sackcloth that works? Or is it the devotion that's behind the reality of sackcloth that works? I looked up the word sackcloth, see if we could get from its literal meaning precisely what it means. It's the word simply is a mesh. Sackcloth is a loose mesh, a strong but porous, probably such that it wouldn't keep the heat out or the cold out, probably useless as a garment, probably most uncomfortable. But it's the opposite of the garments of ease that the kings wore. What is the benefit of sackcloth? Well, God looks at the heart. Just wondering if I can give you a few more illustrations of the Hezekiah was a king. And Rabshakeh, the Sennacherib's general in Assyria, got up to the wall and spoke to all the people in perfect Hebrew and told them that their faith in the Lord was absolutely foolish, and that their God couldn't do anything anyhow. And Hezekiah heard it, and he and his men went over in sackcloth to Isaiah. They cried to the Lord. What happened? Rabshakeh and 185,000 of his men were all slain by the Lord, and that was the end of that. Sackcloth. Pretty powerful stuff. Esther and Haman brought the great pronunciation against that nation. Esther chapter 4. And Esther and her house turned to sackcloth. From the queen to sackcloth. Mordecai, his friends turned to sackcloth. And Haman was hanged on his own gallows. Does the Lord look at the devotion of his people? Some devotion actually is symbolic, isn't it? That's what this devotion is. Sackcloth is symbolic devotion. I don't really think that there's anything magical in burlap. But there's something extremely powerful in the devotion to the Lord, which is often associated with symbolic behavior. Daniel says, I'm going to go home and pray. I don't know how many cabinet meetings he walked out of to go home to pray in a symbolic and a real way to God, the God of the temple in Jerusalem where nothing was happening. Devotion to God. We don't read of sackcloth in this instance, but you remember the story of David and Bathsheba. And the Lord was not at all pleased. And the child that was born got sick, was dying. David said, we got a big problem here. And he got down on his knees and he prayed and he fasted. He was there for 7 days, totally prostrate before the Lord. 7 days. The child died. So he got up, he got all cleaned up, and he went to the temple and praised the Lord. Then he went home and had something to eat. If you'd fasted for 7 days and it was all over, what would you do? He said, I'll eat eventually, but more important, I got to go and praise the Lord. He just took the life of my son. I'm going to go and praise him. What's the Lord think of things like that? It's called devotion to the Lord. The Lord took that man who was probably one of the worst fathers that the world's ever known. He and Bathsheba became the most outstanding parents that you'll find probably in all of Scripture. Absolutely amazing. Can devotion to the Lord turn things around is the question. When you pray, I just made a list of some of the situations for prayer. Sometimes when you pray, you kneel. Sometimes when you pray, you sit. Sometimes when you pray, you stand. Sometimes when you pray, you lie on your face. Does that ever make a difference? You might look at your life and you might say, yeah, it does. And you might look at your life and say, well, I don't always do it that way. There was a man by the name of Silas Fox, an outstanding man of God. And he was a missionary to India. When he got there, he found out that a lot of the Hindu priests and others, that they used to lie prostrate on the floor when they prayed. So Silas said, well, if I'm here, I guess I'll do the same thing. So he used to get up very early in the morning, and he would lie on the floor. Had some sons. His sons liked to bike ride, but it was very, very hot in India. So they decided that they would go for their bike rides very, very early in the morning. And they would get up early in the morning, and they'd try to walk out the front door. They couldn't walk out the front door without walking over the prostrate form of their father lying on the floor. And they went for their bike ride, and their father kept on praying. What do you think happened? Well, all kinds of wonderful things happened, not the least of which was this. And Silas Fox is reported to have established more assemblies than almost any other missionary you've ever heard of. Sometimes we kneel when we pray. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we stand when we pray. Sometimes we don't. What's it all about? Well, it's about the other symbolic elements in our devotion. And why do we pray prayers every Sunday morning? The Bible doesn't say you must, you know. Why do we do it? Why do we come to prayer meeting? The Bible doesn't say you have to have a prayer meeting every week or a whole lot more prayer meetings every week. Why do we do it? And there's a sense in which these are symbolic elements of our devotion. Symbolic in the sense that the Lord can see it. Symbolic in the sense that the devil can see it. Symbolic in the sense that we can see it. Symbolic in the sense that the others who are looking at us, when we don't realize they're looking at us, can see it. Is it important? Well, there's, I said probably 39 or 30 or 40 different references to sackcloth in scripture, and we can't go over them all. But you know, when I did, I learned a lot as I went. I found, for example, that even people who didn't fear the Lord practiced sackcloth, and it worked. There was a wicked king by the name of Ben-Hadad. You read about him in Kings. And he was subject to the enemy, Ahab. And Ahab conquered him. And so he said, I wonder what I can do. He said, I've heard that the kings of Israel are pretty merciful kings. So this Ben-Hadad clothes himself in sackcloth, goes up to Ahab and says, Mr. King Ahab, you're a merciful God. I got my sackcloth on. Will you please allow me to get off? And Ahab says yes. Lord had to rebuke him for his behavior. But it worked. And there are several others in that story. Ahab himself practiced sackcloth and repentance, and it worked. His own son, Ahab's son, practiced sackcloth, and it worked. Isaiah talks a lot about sackcloth. And the other prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, basically in two contexts. Number one, the days are coming that are so bad, you'd better repent in sackcloth. That's context number one. Context number two is, when the days are so bad that you should have repented in sackcloth, you'll try the sackcloth. Just won't work, but you'll try. Very interesting. When are you going to use sackcloth? Before it happens or after? It's amazing. Prophecy goes out not only to Israel, but to Moab, to Ammon, and I'm sure to others. It all says, you're going to try sackcloth, you know. That's how bad it's going to be. Seems to me that you would try sackcloth before. Would it work? Do you remember the wonderful story of our Lord Jesus as he was rebuking Israel in Matthew 11 and Luke chapter 10? And he says of Tyre and Sidon, you know, to those of Bethsaida, I guess, and others, he said, if the mighty works that had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented in sackcloth and remained to this day. Sackcloth works. Psalm chapter 30. You can take your pen on this one because it's just, in this context, I think it's an absolutely delightful verse. Psalm chapter 30. And verse 10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. And then David says, verse 11, thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Y'all in favor? Hallelujah. I think it's absolutely marvelous. David just, he knew an awful lot about sackcloth. He knew about repentance like probably no other man. What happened? Lord turned his mourning, his sackcloth, into gladness. Isaiah's story is just a little different. Isaiah was so burdened by Israel, he put sackcloth on and he left it on. Job actually says that he sewed sackcloth on him. He didn't just put it on, he sewed it on so it wouldn't fall off, he wouldn't lose it. The Lord said to Isaiah, after he'd worn sackcloth for a long time, he said, Isaiah, take your sackcloth off. You got to show Israel that it's a bad scene. Their situation is even worse than prescribed by sackcloth. I suppose that there's a problem in our world today, especially in the church in our world today. It's called casual. It's not necessary that we do this, you know. I know all kinds of people, they don't do that, you know. Now, he's a good Christian. He didn't do that. It's just so-and-so doesn't. There are people in the assembly they don't. We don't all agree with. That's a very, very common thing. Daniel says, I'm in favor of prayer, supplication, fasting, sackcloth, and ashes, and confession, and he says, I speak to the Lord. We didn't get into that particular verse. But Daniel didn't just pray mumbling. He didn't just pray in his head. Daniel prayed out loud. I think those spies who went to the house to see what he was doing when he opened his windows could hear the words of his prayer. Daniel took it all serious. I preached it many, many times, and it goes like this. God does not bestow his richest blessings on the casual. Lord, we pray that we might learn a little about the devotion of these great men of God. Deliver us, we pray, Lord, from playing at. We pray that we might be men of conviction. We've just skimmed a little bit of the surface, Lord, of these men who are devoted to the point of sackcloth. And Lord, much wonder came from them. Lord, would you take us, please, and just make us men and women of devotion, men and women of commitment, men and women who go so far as to allow the outward expression of devotion to be seen in our lives so that others could follow, so we could be encouraged, that the Lord could be glorified and the devil rebuked. Help us, Lord, we pray. We're living in difficult days, you know that. We pray that we might be men and women of devotion to our God. We ask in his name. Amen.